Well, we're just going to turn this right over to Pastor Derek. So let's give him a great welcome as he comes and ministers. Bless you, man.
Thank you, Pastor Bill. It is good to be back here. This thing with the float that Joe and the team put on and put together, you shouldn't underestimate how significant that is. You really shouldn't underestimate that, because that is not only prophetic. You know, there are some people that say and think that everything is prophetic. I don't think everything is. But sometimes there are things that are very prophetic and significant, that God would have the float, the Christian one or whatever it was, be the first to come out leading the way. This is just huge. This is just huge. And sometimes we look for, when is God going to do something in PEI? Well, he just did. He just did through people like yourselves and this church that has been very faithful to a process of going beyond the four walls. As you heard, we've had History Makers Academy here. We have a Transformation Council set up here, which is a group of individuals who have gone through the training, gone through the process, and are now starting ministries and having influence out there. When God sees that that's your desire to reach people, he begins to do the things that you cannot do in the natural. Let me word it to you this way. When you do what you can do in the natural, it activates God to do what you can't do in the natural. When you're faithful to applying yourself, giving maximum effort to bringing the kingdom of God to PEI, that's when God steps in and the greatest signs and wonders begin to take place. So can we just look up and thank Jesus for what happened this weekend with that float? And we say, let there be more. Let there be greater breakthrough. We pray protection over each person that was involved in being catalysts of this past weekend with this parade. We pray protection over them. No weapon formed against them shall prosper. Only blessing, surely goodness and mercy will follow them. In Jesus' name, amen.
If I can just do something here for a moment, because this, it just goes right with what Pastor Derek was talking about the influence. Margaret, why don't you just share what you just shared with me? Put your mic right up close so I can hear.
Jack could probably tell me the family's name, but there was another family on the float besides mine, and they had two children, and the little guy had an elf hat on, and he was very dynamic. So when we first started out, the crowd was very somber. We were all waving, you know, but they weren't waving back. And all of a sudden, the little guy goes, "Merry Christmas!" in this little boy voice. It was just adorable. And a lady in the front goes, and you could see her face. She goes, "Yes, Merry Christmas!" And when she did that, everybody that was right along with her started to wave. And that child did that, and he got the rest of us doing it too, along the whole route. And when we got to the end, it was darker, and the people there were even less engaged in it. And he did the same thing, and then he made this little funny gesture, and he pointed to heaven. And again, all the people's faces changed. And they were like, "Merry Christmas." And one guy goes, "Yeah, Merry Christmas, kid."
Talk about changing the environment.
That is absolutely the power of atmosphere, eh? And the anointing that float created and caused. This is so exciting. And then we come to church and we're able to celebrate it like this. So this is just awesome. We did have a significant Friday night of prayer. We talked about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. And it was really interesting how it seemed to be on the agenda of Holy Ghost for that night. Now, I'm not going to preach on that this morning, but I did feel led to speak about prayer this morning. And again, I'm surprised that I'm talking about prayer again. And I think, you know, Pastor Bill, you had said to me you weren't asking me to preach on prayer, but we had been discussing the importance of, now that we're really trying to do things out there and impact the world, there's still such a great need to pray, isn't there? And I find, no matter how much I grow maybe in understanding this concept or something like time management or system building or all these things that help us to be better in this dimension, I'm always brought back to the importance of prayer. And God will even allow certain things to happen in your life that bring you back to the importance of prayer. Why? Is it that God is egotistical and needs to allow calamity in your life to get you somehow worshiping or praying Him? No, He knows that the way to access the power of God in your life is through prayer. You just cannot get around that. You cannot avoid that. Prayer will always be of utmost importance. Now, I want to prove this to you. Let's give this a title this morning. How about The Secret of Prayer? Or A Secret of Prayer? Because, you know, we know not how to pray, the Bible says, but there are some secrets He can give us. I'd like you to go to Hebrews chapter number 5. Hebrews chapter number 5, and you don't hear this text preached on too much, but it's actually a very special to me. Hebrews chapter number 5, and we're going to pick it up at verse 7. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7, when you're there, say amen. In the days of His flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to Him who was able to save Him from death, and He was heard because of His reverence, or some of your versions will say piety. Let's just read that again. In the days of His flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications. Somebody asked me on Friday night about supplications. With loud cries and tears to Him who was able to save Him from death, and He was heard because of His reverence. This is a very fascinating passage because we're talking about the Son of God. God in flesh is praying. This is amazing. The Son is praying to the Father. So if Jesus had to pray, surely we have to pray. And not only that, we catch a glimpse of not a Jesus that's standing talking to His dad like everything's all good. He's actually crying. Wrap your head around that. Jesus is crying, it says, with tears. And not only tears, but loud cries. Can you imagine Jesus walking into a service this morning and during worship He's sobbing and crying? You would think, boy, who's in control of the boat here? Jesus, the captain, is up there crying. You know, and literally he's crying and groaning, and this is what's called supplication. And somebody spoke to me on Friday night, and they said to me, sometimes I don't know what to pray. I hope I'm remembering this correctly, but sometimes I don't know what to pray, and I feel like I'm praying accurately this way, or I'll pray in tongues, but oftentimes, and she said, I get so overcome with emotion that I begin to cry, and I have no words. And what it sounded like to me was she was afraid she wasn't praying because she was just crying with no words. And what's so awesome about that is tears are one of the greatest prayers you can ever pray to God. Your groans and your travail and your weeping before God actually is petitioning. Some of you are starting to weep now, so maybe Holy Spirit is doing something here. But your tears are like words that go to God that you can't describe. And God will never say to you, stop being so emotional. He'll never say to you, stop crying. It's Some of us have grown up in homes like that where it was a sign of weakness to weep or to be emotional about something. There's some cultures that are like that. But in actuality, we get our emotional mechanism from God. That's where it comes from. And we see Jesus, the Son of God, at the height of his ministry. He is not sitting on a throne. He has not built a megachurch. Nothing wrong with megachurches. But he is weeping and crying, loud cries and tears to the one who is able to save him from death. That's interesting. What was he praying for? Was he praying to not go to the cross? And I'll answer that question so I don't leave you hanging here. But it goes on to say that he was heard because of his reverence. Have you ever had moments where life hits you hard, and no matter how strong you tried to be, you just were overcome by the emotion and pain? And the worst thing you can do in moments like that is think, I don't have faith or I'm not pleasing God. Those are the moments where you let your tears become prayers to God. Those are the moments where you say, I don't have words, Lord. I groan before you. And you allow yourself, give yourself permission to groan before God. This will lead to incredible prayer that brings great breakthrough and peace. And he was heard because of his reverence. Was he heard because he was loud? No. Was he heard because he was very articulate when he prayed? No. Why was Jesus heard? I mean, this shows us a couple things, that some prayers are not heard, some prayers are heard. But why was he heard? You see, all religions pray, don't they? And we can even come into a room and say all the right things and go through the motions, but have it not be from the heart. The key to prayer and everything we do, when the Bible says we're to worship in spirit and in truth, it's to come from the heart. That's the key right there. And I remember a time I went to where I pray. I sat in the chair that I pray in. I put on the CD that I was praying with. And I put on the song that seemed to be anointed yesterday, but for some reason didn't feel so anointed today. And I sat in the chair and went through the motions, praying how I pray. And this is what I'm doing. And about a half hour goes by, and I'm feeling nothing. The heavens are just brass. And I'm thinking, I'm doing everything I did yesterday. Why am I not feeling anything? And all of a sudden, I have this inner vision of Jesus standing at the doorway to come into the room saying, "Can I come in yet? Can I come in yet?" And there are times when we actually repeat and do the things that worked before, but it's not from the heart. We're not praying from the heart. We're just doing rituals. And this is really what religion is just rituals that lack the heart connection with God. And this is why God will often allow things to happen in your life so that you will get on your knees in absolute and total genuine dependence upon him. There are times God will allow things to happen so that you will become totally reliant on him and make that heart-to-heart connection. How many would like to have a heart-to-heart connection with God? It's not going to come through words and religious actions. It's going to come through heart. And oftentimes, the best way we can pray and connect with God is when we are able to let our tears speak, let our groans speak, and just be honest and open with him. You know, I'll tell you a funny story, if you don't mind, because we're all family here. Can I be transparent with you this morning? This is a true story. And so I'm sure you'll enjoy it. Just don't tell too many people about it. But years ago, I liked a girl. I still like girls today. Wow. You see, I'm already in a place that you shouldn't tell anybody. But I liked this particular girl when I was really young. I don't know. And I had just started ministry, and God told me to break up with her. and that she wasn't the one for me. And that was a horrible ordeal. And my parents had been praying, and they would go into my bedroom when I wasn't home and join hands and pray for, you know, they knew that it wasn't God's will, and I was kind of the last to know. And it was tough. So finally, I worked up the courage to break it off with her. And that same weekend, we had to go to a pastor's conference, youth pastor's conference in Ottawa. And I was just a wreck over this, you know. And I got into the car, and Pastor Matt, our worship leader, was driving. And there were two of my leaders that worked with our ministry there. We were just having great services, great meetings in those days. And these two leaders were so excited. They were going to have 4 hours in the car with Pastor Derek. And they thought that these are going to be life-changing 4 hours. And the anointing is just on Pastor Derek always. And our lives are going to be changed. And so I sat back there, or I think I was in the front, and they were back there, and they were asking questions. And can you imagine? I was not feeling like anointed Pastor Derek. And I sat there. I didn't want to talk to anybody. I didn't want to answer questions. I didn't, you know, just self, you know, when you're in that place of just yuck. And we were driving for quite a while, and even I got tired of the storm cloud that was over my own head. And I did something a little radical. And I said to Pastor Matt, I asked him to pull the car over on the highway. And there was, you know, forest area on both sides. If you've ever driven to Ottawa that direction, there's just nothing. And he pulled the car over, and I jumped out of the car and went up into the bush. Literally, well, they waited there. And I went up into the bush, and there was a bit of a clearing there, and I got down on my knees. And even I was kind of surprised that I was doing this. I was kind of like, is this okay to pray like this? And I got down on my knees, and I said, Lord, you have not called me to carry this burden and make everybody's life miserable in that car, and I am not getting back into that vehicle until you deliver me and lift this thing off of me. And I began to pray in tongues. I allowed my tears to flow. And all of a sudden, this is just like a movie, but it's a true story. All of a sudden, the perimeter of where I was praying, like a big circle, became totally still. The wind was blowing and trees moving everywhere else. But right where I was, on my knees, in the bushes, what was completely still with the presence of the Lord. And at some point, I don't know how I knew that it was over, but I got up, went down, got back into the vehicle, and everything changed. And Pastor Matt to this day says that the guy that got out of the car was not the same guy that got back into the car. And what was the difference? Had I prayed for the Lord to free me of it before when it happened? Absolutely. But there was something different when I prayed in a way that was radical, desperate, and allowed my tears to be my petition. How many are hearing what I'm saying this morning? When it's real, in the days of his flesh, Jesus being a man, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because, I know it says reverence, I'll give you the Schneiderian paraphrase. He was heard, there is no Schneiderian paraphrase. He was heard because of his heart. It's the secret to prayer. That's why you've gotta get unforgiveness out of your heart. You've gotta empty your heart of bitterness and offense. You've gotta keep your heart pure. So that when you pray, you're able to pray from a heart posture of purity. And Jesus, you know, knowing death was at hand, he said, Father, if you could pass this cup before me, but nevertheless, my heart's in the right place, not my will, but your will be done. I want to give you a couple points to take with you on your way today. Hebrews 5 tells us the following things. Number one, prayer is a total act. And let me word it this way. Prayer is an act of total dependency on God for people of flesh. Let me say that again. Prayer is an act of total dependency on God for people of flesh. Prayer is like fasting from doing it your way. I mean, the very fact that you don't get up and get engaged, but you actually get on your knees or you lay there or you quiet yourself and you pray is the total opposite of trying to control the situation on your own, isn't it? Prayer is total dependency on God. I love that when we talk about the Bible heroes of the Bible that we esteem as so much better than us, it says, James chapter 5 and verse 17 says, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently. So Elijah was just like you. That's what that means. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. That's pretty cool. Imagine you had a prayer life that could make stuff like that happen. And what's the difference between you and Elijah? Other than probably hair and clothes. His nature is just like yours. He gets weak, he gets tired, he struggles, but he prayed fervently and something happened. What does this mean? What's the common denominator to all of us as people of flesh? We need prayer to get breakthrough. We need to be able to pray. So prayer is an act of total dependency on God for people of flesh. Number two. Prayer, if it's coming from the heart, should have an expression. Prayer, if it's really coming from the heart, should have an expression. What do I mean by that? Maybe there's tears. Maybe there's passion. Be suspicious of your prayers if there's no passion. Whether you're really praying from the heart. Now, you don't always have to show some emotion. Sometimes a prayer is a few words under your breath as you're walking into a meeting. Sometimes a prayer is gathering around the table with your family. And as you're blessing the food, you lift someone up in prayer. But the kind of prayer that really gets breakthroughs often will have an expression. It's just the way it is. Because we are people who, when we express something passionately, when there's something passionate in our heart, there is an expression that comes out of it. I've done some pretty funny things when it comes to prayer. And I have discovered that sometimes you have to fake it till you make it. And I know this might not go over well with everybody. But there have been times when I have said, God, I know I need to pray about this, but I do not feel like it. I don't feel anything. I don't have tears about it. I don't feel bad about it. And this is a true story. I sat there, you know, praying and trying to muster up tears, trying to feel something about it, and finally giving up and just praying in tongues. And then the Holy Spirit would just come in and begin to help me to pray until my hardened heart was soft. And I could feel about the situation what God felt about the situation. And I could actually start to have the emotion and heart-to-heart connection. You know, we get so dirtied by life, don't we? The coming and going of life. And that's what's so significant about Jesus washing the disciples' feet. And what he was doing was, and he said, you're clean already because my word is in you, but there's stuff you pick up on your feet as you walk through the streets and go about your daily life. We all have things. Just watching too much TV can impact your heart in a way that it's hard to pray. Did you know that? just harboring unforgiveness can impact your heart in a way that it's hard to pray. Just living in disobedience or compromise in this area can impact your heart in a way that it's hard to pray. And so sometimes, even when you don't feel like it, you've got to get in that place of, God, I don't have tears yet, but I'm going to make some sounds like I do. I know not everybody will swallow that apple, but if you try it, you will find God will sweep in and answer your prayer, which is, God, help me pray. God, help me pray. So prayer has an expression. Number three. Says that he was heard. This tells us that some prayers are heard and some prayers are not. That's a tough pill to swallow, isn't it? The Bible even alludes to prayers not being heard because of how we treat each other. Some prayers not being heard because of how we treat our spouse. Some prayers not being heard because of unforgiveness. Isn't that interesting? That there are things that hold us back from being heard by God. But the Bible clearly says that he was heard because of the posture of his heart. You see how this is the secret to prayer? You know, some people, they love to show off in church. They love to show off with manifestations, with all kinds of stuff, to kind of let everybody know how spiritual they are. Have you ever met some people like that? It's, I'm going to show everybody I'm very spiritual. But in actuality, the experience that they look like they're having, it doesn't translate to real change in their life. You don't necessarily see change in their life, because change does not come by manifestations alone. Change comes from the heart. Oh, I wish I could convey this the way I feel it this morning. Where you will have that moment where you shook, you rattled, you rolled, you know, you worshiped, you were really going for it, and then at home, you finally quiet yourself, and you say, God, you know what? Only you can change this situation. I surrender. And everything that was unchangeable before suddenly changes. Because you made the Wi-Fi connection. The heart-to-heart happened. Are you catching this morning? I'm trying to convey that one moment, one word from the heart can do so much more than any manifestations that you experience. Let manifestations be a result of something real, not a door to try to get to something from God. But a heart posture. One of the greatest keys for drug addicts when they're coming off drugs, at least with the program in some places that I'm familiar with, is when the drug addict will stop trying to rescue themselves. And in the program, they actually have to get to a place where they say, God, I actually give up. I cannot set myself free. I'm hurting myself and those around me. I want to be set free. If you're interested in me, I give up. I can't do it. Only you can do it. And the stories you hear from that kind of prayer far outweigh the stories of deliverance and even laying on of hands. Some of us, you can deliver yourself by going to God, the great deliverer. The great deliverer. Clap your hands for Jesus this morning. Number four, last point. Your heart posture. Let's word it this way. The state of your heart supersedes the words that you use. You are blessed when you can't find the words. You are blessed when you go to prayer and you just can't find the words. The state of your heart is more effective in prayer than the words that you use. Let's word it that way. The state of your heart is more effective in prayer than the words that you use. I never knew some of these things about prayer until this morning. So powerful. You know, the profoundness, I'm not sure if I'm wording that right, profundity. What is it? Profoundness? Profoundness? Profundity? I don't know. You see, your heart is greater than your words. You know what the profoundness is about that scripture about Jesus? He prayed, it says, to the one who was able to save him from death, and he was heard, meaning God answered. But we all know that Jesus still went to the cross, didn't he? He still went and died on a cross. So why does it say that he was heard? And I've actually looked this up. There are theologians that say that Jesus was actually praying so that they wouldn't stone him and he could still go to the cross. Not sure what I think about that. I don't know. What I do know is that Jesus, when he prayed to the one who was able to save him from death and was heard, I can tell you most assuredly he was heard. And I believe he was saved from death in the sense that God did not leave him in the grave. Hallelujah! God did not leave him. You know, Jesus had to trust God to actually raise him from the dead. When Jesus hung on that cross, you know, there was stuff coming out of his mouth like, Father, why have you forsaken me? Okay, into your hands I commit my spirit. Like this was somebody given the controls over. He had to trust God with his death and resurrection. When you pray in a place of brokenness, in a place of emotion, in a place of total surrender to God, you're saying, Lord, I trust you that even though I'm going through this, you are going to raise me from the dead on the third day. I trust you with the death process, and I trust you with the resurrection process. God will raise you out of the thing that you are going through. He will raise you up, even though you're going through a process, even though you're going through something. You must trust him in prayer with the start to finish, the A to Z. You've got to trust him that he will not leave you in that grave.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
And Jesus was heard, and God the Father raised him from the dead on the third day, because God never leaves his sons and daughters in the grave. And he will not leave you in the grave. He will not leave you alone. But as you pray and petition him, as your tears are supplication, he will not leave you there. He will bring you through. Stand with me this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Some of us need to go home, and maybe this week or whenever, or even tonight, it's time to get on your knees, whether you feel it or not, and say, Lord, here's my heart. I don't have the words. It's time to make a heart connection with God again. Lift your hands all over this place. Holy Spirit, soften our hearts. Move over this congregation. Do something this morning and do something tonight. Lord, we understand it's a heart thing. Father, forgive us for contaminating our own hearts. Forgive us for our unforgiveness. Forgive us for our bitterness. Forgive us for the things that we have allowed into our lives, which have held us back from this heart connection with you, where true prayer is born. We ask you for forgiveness. We ask you for forgiveness. If that's you, just ask him for forgiveness. Just repent before him right now. Just take a few moments and repent.
Oh, Jesus.
I feel like God is just cleaning some hearts right now to reestablish that connection, that Wi-Fi connection with him. Lord, take everything out of our lives that holds us back from connecting with you, Almighty God.